Pursuing the Common Good: How Solidarity and Subsidiarity Can Work Together. That was the theme being discussed earlier this week by members of the Pontifical Academy for Social Sciences at their plenary session. Participants said the theme was a pertinent one, given that in today's globalised society, the traditional interreaction between solidarity and subsidiarity is highly distorted because of the declining sense of solidarity based on the community and on shared values, and because of the growing influence of market forces. One of the main organisers of this plenary session at the Academy was Professor Margaret Archer, a sociologist at the University of Warwick in England and member of the Academy. So I began by asking her whether she could give me some examples of the ways in which this interreaction between solidarity and subsidiarity is skewed in today's society.
Well, certainly if you want to take the example of education, the way in which the state is intervening throughout Europe, probably throughout most of the developed world, and imposing performance indicators which make institutions place them in competition with other institutions. Within a given area, they place parents in competition with other parents. And I could give you a very, very small anecdote. In my local newspaper where I live, just before I left, the front page had the headlines, "Parents cheat to get their children into the good schools." And by cheating, they meant they will lie about their addresses in order to get into a school which has a higher score. And this is turning parent against parent, because how was it known that some had done this? Because other parents had phoned the local authorities and complained. So instead of having solidarity because of these standards, we actually have yet another factor destroying local community.
Your meeting is to look at some of the positive elements of globalisation and then see how there can be more interaction between solidarity and subsidiarity. Can you briefly summarise for us what you see as some of these positive elements of globalisation?
One of the most important ones is the possibility now of the free flow of ideas. This came after began after 1989 with the development of the internet. Now the internet has millions of users who are interacting on a completely non-geolocal basis. They are engaging in subsidiarity because they are freely giving their ideas in exchange with one another. There is no payoff in money, there is no guarantee that the exchange will continue unless they appreciate in one another something which relates very profoundly to the Church's social doctrine, namely, unless they respect the dignity of each other as persons and as sources of new ideas. So out of this, they are reinforcing the dignity of the human person. They're generating new forms of cyber community and solidarity. And they are forming very quickly new types of subsidiary organisations, which may be cyber organisations. They may have no physical presence whatsoever. They may be about, for example, diffusion of a scientific result or of an academic paper, and they will finish once they cease being of use to the users. They will grow if they are of use value rather than exchange value to those who take them up.
Now, we heard how in today's globalised world there is less solidarity as a whole. So how can you make a real inroad into the sort of overriding force of globalisation? How can it be anything more than just something on the fringes? I mean, are you optimistic that you can move beyond that?
Yes, but not because of something that we do. We mustn't think of globalisation as something that is in itself structurally or culturally new. It's not. It's a product of international, multinational capitalism, and international communication flows. So globalization is nothing special. It's just the end product of a lot of this going on. But you're quite right. The major problem is not the problem of globalization. It is the problem of solidarity. And solidarity was fundamentally damaged and necessarily damaged by the nature of modernity, because modernity is something that puts people into competitive conflict with one another, that always accentuates exchange values over human values or use values, and therefore globalization is really the end of the line for modernity. It's where modernity faces finitude. Now, that is not to underestimate this huge deficit in social solidarity that modernity has left us with, where every relationship at work, even in terms of boy meets girl, this is competitive. Certainly at the level of where do you buy a house, highly competitive. How do we cut through this? Well, in a sense, the processes are on our side. No longer is it going to be possible, with the speed at which knowledge develops and old knowledge is superseded by new knowledge, no longer is it going to be possible for parents to utilise the culture they have as tradable cultural capital through which they buy educational advantages for their children. We will have a much more level playing field in which, and we can see this already in the multinational companies, they will recruit their good new talent from wherever in the world. They're completely colourblind. They are indifferent to where people come from. And this already is excellent if, unfortunately, once they are recruited, they are not put in competition with one another. So what we like to think of building upon is this notion of peer-to-peer giving, in which one cuts out the investment structure, the capitalised structure, the industrial hierarchy, the state market forces, as far as one can cut them out, state intervention, as far as one can cut it out. So another way of putting peer-to-peer would be people-to-people. And within that, perhaps, we have the kernel of a possible new source of a very different kind of human solidarity from the local neighbourhood, which is what we know we have lost.
Do you think then that little by little this feeling amongst people, you know, this dissatisfaction, shall we say, with the status quo, will gather pace, and that they will, as you say, look for this greater solidarity, this subsidiarity, and really make then, you know, a significant dent in society as it is at the moment, in the way it's structured?
Yes, I think so, because I have done empirical work on this in England, tracking through longitudinally school children coming up, school leavers coming up to university and following them through their 3 or 5 years of university education. And it's very significant that in the new millennium, a growing proportion, year by year, wish to work in the third sector. They don't want to work for profit. They don't want to work as government servants. Their key phrase, and they repeat it again and again, when I ask them, what do you want out of your future employment? They say, we want to make a difference, if only to one person. So I'm not saying they're typical of society, let alone European society, but they are growing, and these are the educated people. One's hope, of course, is that it percolates downwards, and that they, in their turn, have an influence upon younger, educated people and upon society as a whole. But the positive things they are doing while they are already undergraduates is they are going into schools as teaching auxiliaries. They all do voluntary work in the community, and there is no pressure whatsoever to do this. It's a choice, just as the choice to play football or basketball is an extracurricular choice, but they are doing this, and this is to me very, very positive.
How do you think the church, with its social doctrine, can play into this, can help this process of encouraging solidarity and subsidiarity then?
Basically, by talking about giving and free giving. This is the fundamental charism of the church. It's there in the last commandment of Christ, love one another as I have loved you. But it is not a monopoly of the church. There are many generous people out there in society, particularly young people. And if the church can lend its voice to new initiatives in schooling, in housing, in childcare, and in computing, because the church is not backward in communications technology, and its youth days are actually a wonderful forum for encouraging the spirit of free giving, and free giving in the lay world, where the young Catholic can be encouraged to be of service wherever their gifts direct them. I think it's a very positive role.
That was Professor Margaret Archer, member of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences.